back to throw. Young almost falls down. Throws to the end zone.
What is up? Welcome back, faithful, to another episode of Move the Chains. Coming at you, it's Sean, as always. With me is Alex. What's up, Alex?
What's up, guys? What's up, Sean?
What's going on, Alex? Right off the bat, it was a tough end to our season. You know, anytime you get to an NFC Championship game, you don't anticipate losing. You expect that, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl. So, we took some time. You know, we actually waited a couple of days to get on and record. You know, just kind of collect our thoughts and, heal a little bit from that game. Alex, I know you'll agree with me there, man.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't too bad. And I think I told you about that. It wasn't as bad as 2012 or 2019. I think just because of the slow start, that 2-4, 3-5 record that we had. And then, you know, barely getting to the playoffs with the Ambry Thomas interception against the Rams.
That's right.
And then beating the Cowboys, beating the Packers, it was fulfilling. You know, we didn't get there, but it was fulfilling, and we know what's coming up next. So excited.
I agree. It's always a building block, man. Two road playoff wins. That's another, big thing. And it's, this is a sign of how dominant we were. The 49ers were never the team, in our heyday that had to win road playoff games because we didn't have any. You know, we were pretty much always the number one seed. And yeah, most of our playoff games were at Candlestick Park. It's a confidence thing for these young guys. Like you said, Alex, 2-4 starts the season. Then we went in Chicago. I think that it was Chicago. It put us at 3-4. And then the ugly loss to the Cardinals that left us at 3-5. And I think a lot of people wrote off the season at that point. 3-5, your odds are not very good.
Yeah, we're calling for Trey Lance.
Right. A lot of people were saying, put in Lance. A lot of fucking idiots were saying, fire Shanahan, pardon my French. But, I'm sorry. And I said it then at the time. I'm saying it even louder now, man. I cannot believe anybody actually wanted to fire Shanahan.
Yeah.
I mean, what the guy's accomplished just in a couple of years here. Everyone looks at McVay. McVay took over a pretty good team, a pretty good roster that was ready to compete. Plus, we talked about this, man. They make trade after trade after trade. They have zero first-round draft picks of their own from 2017 to 2023 because they've traded them all away for Jalen Ramsey, for Stafford, for all these whatever trades that they've made over the years, right?
Yeah.
Shanahan and Lynch, they took over. They basically, and we've mentioned this before, there's only like three guys left from the day that they took over to now. Right. So what I want to say is, anyone that really thought firing Shanahan was even on the table, turn in your football card. Don't even watch. I'm sorry. But, 3-5, we get it going. We turned it around. Like I said, at that point, I think deep down, that was the point when, Jimmy got healthy. And I think Kyle said, I'm just going to stick with him as far as he can take us. The whole two quarterback things. I think John Madden always said this. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think that definitely held true, for us this year. Obviously I haven't heard any quotes from a player or anything like that. But this is a tight knit group of guys that, they've the core group has been there for a couple of years now, and I think they rallied together and, we'll get into that, some of the Jimmy stuff here in a little bit, but I just wanted to kind of put a bow on our season. Yeah, again, our fifth championship game appearance in the last decade. Not a lot of teams can say that they've even been to five in their entire history.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Seattle, they've been to four in their entire history. They've been around for almost 50 years. We've been to five in the last 10 years.
Well, yeah, exactly. I wanted to mention with the people talking about Kyle Shanahan being fired, there are two head coaches now, right? We got Robert Saleh, and we got Mike McDaniel that have come off of this 49er, I guess, Kyle Shanahan tree.
The coaching tree, yeah. I mean, you can count McVay in that in a way already, right? You know, LaFleur as well.
McVay,
yeah.
I guess what I'm talking about is with the
49er
staff. Just more of a connection because, McVay.
Yeah. It can get a little murky there. I know what you mean with the coaching tree. Saleh and then McDaniel. And I think D'Amico Ryan's the guy that people are looking at.
Yeah, he's next. Another one, talking about coaches real quick before we get more into Jimmy, is Wes Welker.
Wes Welker has done wonders here. Yeah, I mean, anyone listening, if you ever played fantasy football, especially, you'll remember him. Yeah, he was Mr. 120 catch a year type of guy. He was a very good player for the Patriots, the Broncos. And I think I remember when he was brought in as the wide receivers coach, I was really excited. You know, and for those who don't know, Kyle Shanahan is a wide receiver by trade himself. You look at different coaches, right? Somebody like Pete Carroll, he's a defensive backs coach, right? That's his sort of niche. That's his one position. You know, obviously, somebody like Sean Payton is a quarterback. That's what he was, right? He's a quarterback's guy. So, you know, everyone has their specialty. Kyle Shanahan has a good eye for wide receivers because he was one himself. Yeah, he played for the Longhorns, Texas, right before Vince Young got there.
Yeah, so, we do have a few misses, but I mean, the top three guys are all drafted by Kyle. So
by Kyle, right
now. Yeah. Let's get back to Jimmy. We really want to dedicate this episode just to thank Jimmy for his time with the 49ers. You know, he was a great player, great leader, professional with the media, always professional. And I think he took advantage of his last season with us. He went all the way to the NFC Championship. He put himself in a situation where he kind of showcased himself. Really, he showcased himself to a potential future team.
Yeah, it was an extended job interview. And, you know, Alex, to piggyback on what you said, man, you know, our franchise was at absolute rock bottom in 2016. The Tom Sula experiment was a failure. Hiring Chip Kelly and, you know, the whole Kaepernick thing. I'm not going to say anything about politics, purely on the field, you know, and in the locker room. The guy was, you know, it was a dark moment for a franchise. You know, a quarterback that was, the report was on an island in the locker room, right? And he's gone. We were bringing Shanahan, of course. And, you know, everyone knew that Brian Hoyer was not the solution, right? He was just there to install the offense, you know, get the terminology in. The different formations and the play, you know, if you've ever heard NFL coaches call a play, it sounds like gibberish, right? Just random words, but no, there's a system behind it, right? They'll use different terminology that, you know, it's like a code language. So, you know, we knew Hoyer was the guy. I think at the time, if you remember, Kirk Cousins was a name that everyone was talking about because Washington was not going to pay him. I think if I remember correctly, he had the franchise tag for 2 years in a row. So he was going to come available. He ends up going to Minnesota, of course. But I'll never forget, man. It was October 30th, 2017, the day before Halloween. News broke, I want to say right around the time of the, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock Sports Center, around that time of day. And they were like, hey, breaking news. It was Adam Schefter. And Alex, I remember even that time, I messaged you right away. Schefter comes on and, you know, with his voice and his cadence that he always does, breaking news out of Foxborough, Jimmy Garoppolo officially being sent to, and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? The San Francisco 49ers for a second round pick. I swear, I think I jumped out of my chair, man, from my sofa. And because if you remember, the other guy that we were looking at, well, we hired Kyle Shanahan was Josh McDaniels, who, of course, just the other day was hired as coach of the Raiders. But part of the whole thing was, if you hire McDaniels, you'll get Garoppolo, who people saw as an upgrade and a better version of Kirk Cousins or just a superior quarterback to him. So I felt like it was amazing that we got the coach that I wanted and we got the quarterback that I wanted. You know, and I think before we talk about the play on the field and everything, you know, one thing that'll always stand out for me was that we immediately had a face of the franchise type of guy, right? You know, he was a quarterback that, you know, he speaks well to the media. He's a very popular guy in the locker room. You know, he learned a lot of his mannerisms and his, you know, style, his motivating style from Tom Brady. You know, and that's one of the things Tom Brady's teammates will always tell you, that, you know, they just believe in the guy. Like, he can make you believe that they're not going to lose, that they're going to pull through. You know, having him come in, it immediately, you know, uplifted our franchise. And he actually didn't play. If you remember, he sat for about 3-4 weeks. He got there in October.
Yeah, he sat for a month.
Yeah, he sat for a month. It wasn't until Beathard got hurt. I was there. It was a game right after Thanksgiving, and we played Seattle. And Beathard got shaken up like on the second to last play of the game. And then Garoppolo comes in, and, you know, again, half the stadium was empty. I say maybe three quarters empty by that point. There was a lot of Niner fans going to games back then, but that's another topic for another day. You know, but the fans that were there, you know, they erupted, and he throws a touchdown on the final play of the game. Game was over, but
yeah,
it was exciting. You were saying, Alex, what were your thoughts at that moment? Right, go back to the day we got him from the trade.
Yeah, I was happy we got him because of Tom Brady, because of the Patriots. I want that culture. I want, you know, the consistency of being in the playoffs every year. So I was excited. And then he wins 5 games in a row. Oh, goodness, yeah. Man. I was ready, man. I was ready for 2018. Season to start. Oh.
No, so let's go back, right? We're 1-10. You know, we won one game over the Giants, you know, with Beathard while Garoppolo's on the bench. And, you know, so he finally comes in. His first start was in Chicago, right? And he grew up, you know, just outside of Chicago in one of the suburbs, you know, out there in Illinois. So, you know, you had to know that meant a lot to him, right? His first, you know, start as a 49er, where it's his team, his job. And it happens to be, you know, in his hometown, you know, in the stadium that he grew up in the shadows of, right? And, man, the biggest thing I'll always remember is just, you know, how sharp he looked, you know, and I think we'll get to this as we kind of, you know, have an overview of his career here. But everyone was like, wow, you know, this guy just going out there and slinging it. He was only using like a quarter of the playbook because he'd only been there for a couple weeks. You know, Kyle Shanahan's playbook is not, you know, your average basic NFL playbook, you know. If you remember, I used the analogy, right? You know, if his playbook is a calculus textbook, you know, what Harbaugh was running was a coloring crayon book, right? but, you know, so like I said, he comes in with limited time to learn, you know, no chemistry, what to mention with the receiving core we had. You know, we had Marquise Goodwin, we had Trent Taylor. And, you know, they had just, you know, the best times of their career in that little run. You know, like you said, 5 in a row.
At that time, Pierre Garçon was injured.
That's right. So, yeah, he was already out.
Goodwin was a top guy.
Yeah.
Richie James, I don't think. No. Richie James was 2018.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Richie James, Trent Taylor. Right. Who else? Yes. That was it, right?
We still have Garrett Celek, I believe.
Garrett Celek.
Yeah.
And then George Kittle.
Kittle was a rookie. Yeah. But you could tell right away that when Garoppolo got here, Kittle had a pretty strong finish to that rookie season. You know, so we won in Chicago, close game. I think it was a walk-off field goal, you know, with Robbie Gould winning over his old team in his old stadium. And then I think it was a road game. So I know it was Chicago, then we beat Houston. Again, it was kind of a close game, but Garoppolo played really well. And then we had home games. And then it was home game against Tennessee. Again, that was crazy. I was there. It was amazing. There was like 3 scores in the last 2 minutes where we scored, then the Titans scored, and then we scored again on a walk-off field goal, right? And it felt for the first time since, I want to say, Jeff Garcia, where our quarterback went out there, you know, in a two-minute drill, or I think it was something like a minute and a half, no timeouts. And I actually felt confident. I didn't feel like, oh, God, here we go. You know, how is this? This is it. I actually felt like, you know, I think he's going to take us downfield. And he hits Trent Taylor on a big play. And then a couple big plays later, right, we win. And it really, the week after that was Jacksonville, Christmas Eve that year. And we put 44 points on what was a very, very good Jaguar team. Jalen Ramsey.
Top defense.
Right, Jalen Ramsey, who was now on the Rams. You know, that day he had a lot. He was talking trash to someone about it being a T-shirt game, you know, because the Titans and Jaguars were neck and neck for the division. So he was saying, you know, these guys, what do they have to play for? They're eliminated. We're the ones out here winning our division. Something to that extent. And, yeah, we put 44. I know seven of them technically were off of a pick six, but, you know, we carved them up. And I'll never forget leaving the stadium that day because it just in that little bit of time, you know, those two road games in Tennessee and Chicago, and then the, Houston and Chicago, the home game against the Titans, by the Jaguar game, that stadium was more full than I had seen it, you know, in years.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Right. And like I said, I sat through all the losing. I did not miss a single game in those years. You know, and I saw how empty it got during the dark times. But it was clear, you know, that, hey, this guy is going to, you know, he provided hope. We finished with a 5-game win streak. Early that February in 2018, he signs what is at that point the highest contract ever for any player. 5 years, $137.5 million. And just to show you how fast the NFL works with contracts, currently that's not even top 10 just in the last 4 years. But anyhow, so we get our guy, we sign him to the big money deal. And then what happens? Alex, take it from there, man. 2018, we have high hopes. What happens to us?
Yeah, man, we have high hopes coming off of that 2017 season. There's a lot of players in the team that we're excited for. You know, Trent Taylor, George Kittle. We picked up Jerick McKinnon. We have all these, you know, we hear all these great things about the Kyle Shanahan offense. We lose our first game against the Vikings, against Kirk Cousins. It was pretty funny. And then the second game,
Jimmy actually had three interceptions in that game. One was a pick six.
Against the Vikings?
So, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And a little bit of context, though, the Vikings were coming off of an NFC Championship game appearance. So we still looked at them as one of those top dogs, right?
Yeah, we did.
We ended up losing, I believe, 27-16. It was 24-16 at one point. But Jimmy did not have a good game. He had three picks, and one was a pick six. But continue.
Yeah, you're good. Week two, we barely beat the Lions. There was an interception that was going to be, you know, become a pick six, but I think it was a penalty.
And it was kind of a ticky tack one too. I remember that. Everyone in the stadium kind of exhaled, like, "Ooh, we got away with that one."
We did, And then week three comes against Mahomes, and Mahomes is already on fire. I think by that time he had 11 touchdowns.
That's right. He'd already started to set the league on fire.
Yeah. He was on fire. And then he tears his ACL. I want to say in the third quarter or right before the half.
It was the third quarter. And so we were down. It was something like 35-7.
Yeah.
It's something like Kansas City had the ball five times and they scored five touchdowns. It was unreal. We just could not get a stop. But I believe at one point it was something like 35-27 or something like that. We got it to that close, 35-24. But yeah, that's when Garoppolo, he's scrambling and, you know, out to his left. And as he gets towards the sideline, he inexplicably tries to cut back for, I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was a defender right there. He gets absolutely rocked. And my first thing, the way he fell and the way he kind of laid there, I thought it was a concussion. And I thought it was a concussion. I just remember then they carted him off. I'm like, why are they carting him off? You know, and then because you don't really see it. It's not like, you know, one of those obvious plays where you see the guy's knee bend and you know it's bad right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even Fox didn't replay it because they had no idea it was a knee injury. Then all of a sudden they're like, hey, he's out for the game. And I want to say before the game was even over, they were already reporting that they fear it was a torn ACL or right as the game had ended.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you want to talk about letting the wind out of our sails, man. You know, it was just week three. And, you know, we had so much excitement. And, you know, going rewind real quick, I like you said, I was so excited to get him. One reason why I wanted to draft him in 2014. So Alex Smith was gone at that point. And I've been vocal about this. I was never sold on Kaepernick. So I thought drafting Garoppolo, who was moving up quickly on the draft board that year. Jim Harbaugh even had a workout with him. And, you know, I thought he was a good player, that, like a good area of the draft to be able to get him, right? Obviously, we didn't. But real quick, one of his red flags was fragility. You know, they said, can this guy stay healthy? In New England, he gets that start during Brady's suspension, and then he got hurt, right? He had to, he couldn't finish the four games. So, yeah, you know, the ACL happens, and that was a tough year, right? We finished, I believe we were 4-12. Just about the only good thing that happened that year was the fact that we were able to draft Nick Bosa.
If
he doesn't tear his ACL, you know, I guarantee that team goes at least 8-8, you know, 7-9. If you recall, that was the year that we were like a trendy Super Bowl pick. I said, you know what, pump the brakes. We're still missing quite a few pieces, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, in today's day and age, with the way these, you know, media outlets work, sports centers of the world, the second a new guy pops up, they don't let him develop and become who he's going to be. No, they're going to take him and shove him down your throat until the point you hate the guy, right? I mean, just this week, how many times do you hear them talk about Joe Burrow this, Joe Burrow that? You know, but anyhow, you know, so we land Nick Bosa, and then entering 2019, it's kind of, you know, a lot of people, you know, again, it's coming up on 3 years since this point, but some people were like, you know what? He didn't look all that great in 2018, even before the knee injury. You know, was it a case of, you know, like what was it? Who was the guy from? Where was that guy from 2017? You know, was it, you know, all that news about dating porn stars and, you know, doing this and that? You know, people were, you know, maybe the shine wore off a little bit, right? There was some people saying, "Oh, I don't know if he's the answer." I was like, "Look, the guy's gonna play well." And 2019 comes. What happens, Alex? We win. We beat Tampa Bay, right? And then we beat Cincinnati, and we look really good doing it. We beat Pittsburgh in our home opener. Then we had a bye week. We beat the Browns. I was there.
Yeah, coming back.
We whooped them. It was like 31-3, 34-3, something like that.
It was bad.
And we beat the Browns. Then we beat the Rams in L.A. And that was one of those at the Coliseum before they built their stadium. It was like a Niner home game, which is the theme here. All right. And then I believe the game after was the Redskins. Yeah, it was the Redskins.
And then Carolina.
And then Carolina to go to 7-0, and then 8-0 versus the Cardinals on Halloween.
There you go.
I mean, man, look, all over the years, Niners have, even the years when we were really good, we've kind of somehow always happened to drop one. You know, like we start out 1-1 or 2-1. And again, you don't win the Super Bowl by starting undefeated like that. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. But, hey, it was one hell of a ride, was it not?
It was a good ride, yeah. Yeah. 8 wins in a row.
We were the final undefeated team.
Yeah, number one seed. And that's another thing we mentioned about going to the NFC Championship five times in the last decade. Every time we make the playoffs, we end up in the NFC Championship. So
that's right. We're five for
consistency.
Yeah. Like, I don't always make the playoffs, but when I do, I get to the championship game.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Jimmy had a really great season, right? He was really close. He was really shy from 4,000, but we're going to say 4,000 yards.
Yeah, it was like 3,980 something yards. And you know what, Alex? We have not seen those numbers since Jeff Garcia. Mm-hmm. You know, Alex Smith, he went on to have a great years with Kansas City, but we didn't see that here. Colin Kaepernick,
we didn't see that.
Never came close to 4,000 yards, not even close. We were used to our quarterback, you know, completing, you know, a high percentage, but only, even then, it was short throws for 175 yards a game if we were lucky. All right. So 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns. And again, I think the highlight of that year, really, number one was 8-0 in the first half. The second half of the year, we had a stretch of games where we won on the final play or lost on the final play. All right, we had that thriller against the Seahawks on Monday Night Football where we lost in overtime. But, and then, you never want to lose to your rival. That was a tough one. But, that walk-off win against the Saints, 48-46, who could forget that one? That was one hell of a game. We could probably do a whole episode of that game if we wanted to. I think we dropped one to Baltimore on the final play of the game. Atlanta was that weird ending. Yeah. We beat the Rams on the comeback. It was a Saturday night game during the holidays. The Rams were kind of fighting for their playoff lives, and we eliminated them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, of course, Seattle, the week 17 with the division on the line. You know, we stopped them at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, the tackle. Trigger. Right.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, you know what? It's funny, man. It's only been 2 years, but you can kind of tend to forget just how much fun that year was. Yeah, that was a whole lot. That was one, you know, hell of a season. So it started. We were, you know, coasting through, and then we were battle tested, right? Yeah, the playoffs. Of course, you know, that's where it kind of changes a little bit, because we beat Minnesota. He had decent numbers, but the second half, I think he didn't throw a pass in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, in the NFC Championship game against Green Bay, famously or infamously, he only had 8 attempts. He was 6 for 8. So like 70 yards.
Yeah, right? That was bad.
I mean, it wasn't bad. Here's the thing. If they can't stop the run, why would I throw the ball?
No, yeah, of course. Yeah. It's just, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say, it looks bad.
Right, exactly, right? In today's day and age, you're used to, you know, Drew Brees throwing, you know, 41 for 59 for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, right? So, yeah, that was that playoff run. I'll tell you one thing I want to mention real quick, you know, as we reflect on that. We probably should have had to face Seattle and New Orleans, but we got lucky because the Vikings upset New Orleans, and then the Packers, you know, of course, they have Seattle's number. So we had a nice little red carpet to the Super Bowl, which we're not going to talk about that. Let's move on.
Yeah, so 2020 comes along, and it was just a very interesting year, you know, with what happens with COVID early in the year. And Jimmy was also battling an ankle injury. I think he missed 11 games.
That was that, the turf monster in New Jersey. Remember when Bosa got hurt?
Yeah, Bosa, Solomon Thomas.
I want to say there was maybe another defender, but Garoppolo, of course, same game, got hurt.
Yeah, it got to the point where we played the Packers with Richie James as our top receiver.
Yeah, that was the game where it was a Thursday night game, and they forced us to play with, I think we were missing, you know, a quarterback, missing our top three receivers, two running backs, three line. It was insane. Yeah, I don't even want to remember that, and we're a little side note. Richie James goes off for 180 yards that game. That's the only thing I'll ever remember about that. But yeah, 2020, you know, a little bit of a lost year for the whole team. You know, I don't put too much of that on Garoppolo. I think eventually we made a decision to shut him down. He came back to play against Miami, and I just remember, you know, you can say what you want about him making some questionable throws into tight coverage or whatnot. But the one thing about him that was always solid was, you know, his footwork and the way he, you know, would release his throwing motion and mechanics. It was obvious in that Miami game because, you know, if you've never, you know, analyzed a game, you know, when you watch how quarterbacks throwing, if he's throwing with his, without planting his foot, that means he's in pain. You know, a quarterback doesn't just play with his arm. It's your entire body, right? It's your feet, your hips, you know, your shoulders. It all goes into throwing the ball. And it was that Miami game. That's when I think it was clear that, you know, like he's hurt. He's trying to play, but he's hurt.
Yeah, I remember that.
So, yeah, 2021, right? So let's take it from there, Alex. What happens in the draft?
Yeah, so 2021, we have the third pick. We trade up with the Dolphins for 3 first rounders, and we get the 3rd overall pick of the 2021 draft, and of course, we picked Trey Lance. And at that moment, we all knew that Jimmy's time was limited. There was even questions if he was going to play this year. I was rooting for Trey Lance. I wanted the rookie to play. But you know what? It was a good decision by Kyle to start Jimmy. I think last year, 2021, he had the no trade clause, so he had some power over where he was going. Yeah. So, and I think also with the salary, we were thinking, let's plan for another year. Let's have Trey red shirt this year. And we were successful, NFC Championship.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. Rewind real quick there, Alex. Think with Trey. You know, he did not play due to COVID two years ago now. Right. So I think the plan all along, because we knew we weren't taking Mac Jones. You know, we knew we weren't going to get Wilson because, you know, Robert Saleh is our guy in New York. They took him. So I think Fields was just not what Shanahan was looking for in terms of, you know, some of the flaws in his game. So I think the plan all along was, hey, we know this guy's not ready. He's not going to be able to play day one. Now, there's talk he may not even be ready in week one in 2022. But that's another conversation for another day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, you know, that whole thing leading out of the season was, okay, well, last year we fell just shy of the Super Bowl, winning it. You know, and now this year we're saying, okay, is Jimmy the guy? You know, with all the injuries. You know, at that point, if you look at 2018 and 2020, 2 out of 3 years, he finished the year missing a big chunk of both years. Mm-hmm. You know, so the question about his fragility, we know what they say, one of those football cliches, right, Alex? What's the best ability is availability.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I think at that point, you know, the rumors were out that, oh, they were trying to get Stafford, that, you know, there was that they were trying to trade for Matthew Stafford. There was rumors about Tom Brady. There's rumors about Aaron Rodgers. You know, there was a whole lot going on around the organization. And I think it was a shock. I remember when the news broke, you know, again, it was almost midday things that I think the Niners had just gone to a pro day for either Fields or Lance. It was one of the two. Or I think they went to both, something like that. And then right away, they strike up a deal with the Dolphins, you know, to move up to number three in the draft. And that just sent shockwaves to the NFL, right? They're like, okay, so who do they pick? Mac Jones, Justin Fields, you know, obviously it ends up being Trey Lance, but you know, to go back again, we're this episode's about Jimmy, right? Jimmy, you know, again, he came from New England, consummate professional, you know, from that Bill Belichick sort of mold. The thing is, the way he handled that whole situation, man, you know, he reached out to Trey Lance right away. He asked the front office, saying, hey, can I have his number? You know, he welcomed him to the 49ers. The one thing we know about this group of guys, man, they are a tight-knit group, you know, from the first guy to the last guy. So it's a tight-knit group. And I think, and like you said, man, it was a job interview for him from here on out, how he behaves, how he carries himself. He didn't pout. He didn't complain. You know, he took it on as a challenge, and I'll forever be grateful to how he handled that situation, because a lot of guys do not handle it well. You know, these guys are ego driven. You know, they're some of the best in the world at what they do, and you know, when they're pushed that way with the young kid being drafted like that, it would have been easy for him to fold up shop and say, you know what, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, be a malcontent or force a trade or who knows, you know, any number of possibilities. But no, he was a consummate professional, great teammate. You know, you look at situations like, you know, Mahomes had Alex Smith, right? These young guys tend to do better when they hear from a quarterback. You know, a coach can do only so much for you. It's almost like hearing it from, you know, your equal or from a peer. So, you know, like, and I you feel the same, right? And just how they handled it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it was a really smart decision. One thing that Jimmy brought that I think is very important is just that winning culture. Because now we have Debo, right? We have Ayuk, we have Bosa, we have Warner, Kittle. These Trent guys are expecting to win, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the most important. Trey Lance is entering the best. I mean, if you had to choose your own scenario of what team to take over as a starting quarterback as for your first season, Yeah. You got Debo, right? You got Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle.
Yeah. A great running game.
A great running game. And O-line, which I hope we keep Lakin Tomlinson. We'll talk about that later on in free agency.
He's about to get paid.
Yeah. Great O-line. Great defense. I mean, we've been in the top 10 for multiple years now.
Top three, actually, this past year.
Right? So... Yeah, man, very excited. I've been excited about Trey Lance since we got him. We just wanted to take the time with this episode since Jimmy's time is about to end pretty soon. Just wanted to, just say thank you. Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you probably will never listen to this, Jimmy, but, just from both of us and on behalf of the faithful, man, thank you. At the end of the season, a couple of days ago when he did his exit press conference, as much as I was still kind of upset about how the game ended in LA, but he said something to the effect of the memories and all the comebacks that Levi's and on the road. Thank you, faithful, I love you. He goes, see you.
I felt something.
You know what I mean? It's like I was not ready for that. I was like, oh man. When he said see you and he kind of gets up, I was like, oh man. It's really over. Again, we're more than appreciative. When Alex left here, kind of left on a good note as well. And I think we're not going to get into where he ends up and whatnot. But I'll tell you one thing about this organization that we have in the front office, and they're a respectful group of guys, and I think they will allow Jimmy to have a say in where he goes.
Big time.
Of course, it has to be advantageous to the team. Right. Preferably he ends up in the AFC. You would hate to see a situation where we run into the guy in the playoffs. That would be a nightmare scenario.
I'm not scared of Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, you never know. You never know, man. Guys can unlock, if he goes to a different system, who knows? I still believe deep down, as similar as the West Coast offense is to what the Patriots run, the Earhart Perkins, it's like an option-based option routes is what they run. Mm-hmm. I still think he's probably a better fit for what they do. So if he ends up with a guy like Josh McDaniels, again, let the speculation begin.
Raiders, yep.
Right, let the speculation begin now. But, that's pretty much it for me, man. I'll still proudly, occasionally wear my Jimmy G jersey. I got the 94 alternate, the white jersey. Couple years ago,
another
one. I'll probably remember some of those times.
Yeah, exactly. Just to wrap up, I just want to say that I think very similarly to how we look at Alex Smith, we'll look at Jimmy Garoppolo. Where now that Alex Smith is retired and he hasn't been with the 49ers for a while, the real 49er fans think fondly of Alex Smith, and I think we're gonna have good memories with Jimmy.
Yep. I 100% agree with you, Ed.
Yeah. All righty. We'll end this episode now. We'll be back pretty soon. We're going to do another episode this week.
Yeah.
Cover a couple more topics. A lot of things going on. And it's just the beginning of the offseason. So, any closing thoughts, Sean, before we end it here?
No, that's just about it. Thank you, to all of our listeners throughout the year. This is our first year doing this. We're still learning as we go. All the feedback we received has been very, very helpful. And as we try to get better at what we do, we thank you for listening along during the year. It was one hell of a ride.
Definitely agree. All right, faithful. We'll take care. We'll talk to you soon.